Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we want to thank everybody for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We had a delay. We're setting up for our streaming services for Unforgiveness Part 2 on our seminar. Stand by.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Remember, principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of I got my eyes on the prize. I won't accept it and lie. Fight for my faith till I die. Here is the reason why.
Because of the price you pay, yeah.
Dream me, that's my act now. Tell Fetty I won't bow. Poppy collar, you're a winner, you're a star. Know who God says you are.
We're gonna accept that. Neither of you, but we're not gonna turn back.
Hello, I'm Don Daler, and this is 2020 in Touch. Although it's not talked about openly today, exorcism is practiced by the Catholic Church almost daily somewhere in the world. Elizabeth Vargas travels to Rome, where there is a growing demand for the ritual of exorcism.
Hold it, hold it.
Oh, no!
Leave.
No!
Leave.
It is something this Los Angeles woman, seen in the documentary Satan Unmasked, says brought her peace. It is something a woman behind these glass doors in Italy hopes will save her. Exorcism. The casting out of demons through ritual prayer is practiced in many faiths. It is most often associated with one, Roman Catholicism.
Exorcism has deep roots in Catholic tradition when performed by priests given special permission by their bishops. The number of priests approved to perform exorcisms has grown with demand. Here in Italy, about two decades ago, there were 20 approved priests to perform exorcisms. Today, there are 350.
Last month, Father Frank Desiderio, an executive producer of Polish Productions, was in Rome interviewing exorcists for the documentary Satan Unmasked. They spoke with Father Gabriele Amorth, who was for years the chief exorcist at the Vatican.
I average 10 or 12 exorcisms a day, about 3,000 exorcisms a year. Now multiply that by 21 years, and it's more than 60,000 exorcisms.
Some time ago in this Litchfield home, wife and mother Pat Redding felt as if she were possessed by evil spirits. She went through a series of 16 exorcisms, witnessed firsthand by her daughter Michelle.
When you see the person that you love being attacked by something invisible, so heinous and so disgusting, you will look for anything to stop it.
The situation started, says Michelle, with strange banging noises in their home. It moved on to a mysterious overturning of all their furniture, and eventually to attacks on Pat Redding from an invisible force.
It would rip her hair out. There'd be plenty of witnesses, and it would rip it right out of her scalp. An invisible force. She'd scream, she'd jerk backward. I'd turn around, she'd be in pain. Of course, she would panic, she'd cry, she was shocked.
And did she have actual physical marks on her body?
Absolutely.
And they couldn't have been self-inflicted?
No. Bite marks on her back. She would end up with black and blue marks in the most bizarre places that she wouldn't have been able to do herself.
Fearful and bewildered, the family turned to a team of paranormal investigators, led by John Zaffis, who is now writing a book on the case.
We have what we call soul victims, if you will. Purely innocent individuals that never had any exposure to paranormal stuff whatsoever, and during the course of their life, they just fall victim.
Now, this is a delicate question to ask, but how do you know that it's not somebody with psychological problems? I mean, different psychological problems can manifest themselves in very strong ways.
She was found to have no psychosis. There was nothing wrong with her.
Medically, physically, everything had been ruled out.
Exhausted.
Into that point, that's when a decision had to be made. And that's when, actually, we had the Roman Catholic Church involved with it.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Connecticut Bishop John McKenna agreed to perform the exorcism, although it was not officially sanctioned by the Vatican. Exorcists say it's the demons inside that give the possessed strange voices and unusual strength. They say that necessitated restraining Pat during her exorcism.
Before this happened, did you believe in possession? Did you believe?
No. Before this happened, we were your average middle-class family.
Then what do the two of you say to people out there watching this who I'm sure are thinking, these look like perfectly nice people, but you cannot convince me your mom was possessed by demons?
There's really no way to convince them unless they want to believe. But I knew my mother, and she didn't believe at all in that. And it existed.
Please keep sending your comments via email or record them on a cell phone or webcam and send them to us at abcnews.com. We just might feature you on our next daily webcast. I'm Don Daler. For all of us at 2020, we're in touch, so you be in touch.
Praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. I tell you, the devil has been doing everything he can do to try to block me. There are spirits called Boyce and Bouncy. Boyce and Bouncy are electronical demons. They operate in the electricity and try to block the word of God. They're blocking spirits. And you have to know them and identify them and tell them to leave your equipment alone. And it happens. If you are a deliverance minister, and you are dealing with the unseen, you have to be very sensitive and make sure that you know the word of God to deal with these things. They are real. We're going to be talking about an area in our lives that can open up the door to some demons. We are now kicking off our telethon. We do this annually to raise money. Every quarterly we do this. July is right around the corner, so I wanted to kick it off now. I'm going to be coming to you throughout the day on Facebook live chat. You can also listen to us at www.livedeliverance.com. I do not want my internet radio station that the Lord has put over here. I'm responsible to keep this radio station going until I leave this earth. I do not want any outside worldly platforms to represent a deliverance ministry. This is why I want everybody to go to www.livedeliverance.com. It is controlled by unsaved people. It's a worldly function. I'm trying to get the gospel out, and I don't depend on YouTube. I don't want to depend on Facebook. I don't want to depend on Meta, none of this. I want to depend on www.livedeliverance.com. That's the radio station I'm licensed to have. I am a 501c3. I'm a nonprofit organization. We are Sabbath keepers. We believe in the protection of Israel. I'm pro-Israel. I am pro-Israel. Okay? I am a Sabbath keeper. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe that the tongue should be interpreted. We believe in all the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I teach and worship on the Sabbath. I don't teach on Sundays. I do not recognize Sundays biblically. If you want to be a good deliverance minister, stick to the scriptures and the patterns of Jesus. The devil do not like you when you're trying to follow him. He say, follow me, Matthew 4:19, and I will make you fishermen of men. So let us now open this thing up now in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, I ask that you use me as your oracle, and I ask that the power of God penetrate through my mouth. I ask that you forgive me and all of us from all sins. Lord, your word says if we confess our fault, that you are just and able to forgive us for all unrighteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, we come to you before your throne and ask you to forgive us for these heinous sins that we have. Lord, we ask that you remove it and take it out of our heart. We ask that our free will come to the leaning of the Holy Spirit. We come up against rebellion. I'm hearing a spirit of rebellion, very heavy. There's a lot of rebellion. There's a lot of rebellious people. There's a lot of people that's backsliding, flipping into the world. If you backslide, come back. I've backslided. We all have backslided to the flesh. I don't care who you are. I don't care what position you are. Anybody on earth is susceptible to sin. So just don't be looking up at people because you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know the heart of a person. Don't worry about nobody else. Look at you. Don't be worrying about if a person commits sin, that's between them and God. It shouldn't hurt your own personal relationship with Jesus. Amen? So let's do that. Let's look at ourselves. I don't judge anybody when people call me. I don't care about what a pastor's doing, what kind of sin he's in. I got my own problems. I have my own trials. And the Bible says that if we work out our salvation with trembling and fear, we'll be okay. A part of that of working out our salvation depend on you forgiving. So we're going to pick up where we left off on part one of unforgiveness. We are moving into our telethon. Again, welcome to livedeliverance.com. My name is Apostle Emmett Overton. I prefer to be called Emmett Overton. I come under the apostleship name for the protection when I'm teaching the word. Apostle means they sent one. That don't mean I'm perfect. I'm not Jesus. Don't look at any pastors and look up to them. They are susceptible to any kind of sin. And all sin is unto death. There is no sin that's bigger than the other one. Sin is sin. Gluttony is a sin. And murder, both of them the same sin. Why is it that the world want to pluck out murder because you took a human life, yes. But it's still sin. And all sin leads to death. So we all are dealing with something. Amen? Let's deal with our heart tonight. Let's make sure that we don't have any unforgiveness in our heart toward people. All right, let's get this thing started. Okay. And I want to thank Chaplain John Durden. He's going to be coming in, not to quote the scriptures. He comes in just to talk and to share. Anybody can come in, please. You're welcome to. I love all of you. But don't add on to the sermon. I'm not saying he's doing it. He's not doing it. He's a good friend of mine. We love him. And a lot of brothers have really been persecuting this brother. And this brother is a good friend of mine. 81 years old and still serving God. We all trying to get there. And he come a long ways. I love him. He's a friend, a father, and a good man, and he has a wonderful heart. And I thank him for all of the fellowship that he's done with me and being with me. He's a good friend of mine. Amen? All right, let's get this thing going. Unforgiveness rouses God to turn us over to tormentors, and it blocks our deliverance. You shouldn't want to have some hate in your heart towards somebody that's going to block you from deliverance. God have mercy. And his Lord was wroth when the unforgiven servant and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. So if you do not forgive a person that trespasses, you can be turned over to the tormentor. That's not good. Now, there is a scripture that I can show you about being turned over to the tormentor. We'll get it. Where it's in the Bible that says he will turn you over to the tormentor in the King James Version. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 34. Matthew 18, verse 34. Now, this is red writing now. This is in red writing, so that means that these are the words of Jesus. Now, I said it, but I wanted to give you the scripture of where it's at. And I want you to read it and really meditate on it. Meditate, Shelah. When you thank your Holy Spirit, the Lord told me to tell you that means Shelah means to meditate. The Lord just told me to tell you that Shelah in Hebrew means to meditate. Now, here we see Jesus saying something. And his Lord was wroth, W-R-O-T-A, wroth, that means angry, and delivered him to the tormentors. Those are demons. Why would Jesus deliver somebody to demons? Watch this. Till he should pay all that was due unto him? That's wrong. This is why Jesus can turn us over to the tormentor, because when we make a judgment on a person, we're acting as God. And you get in the way. You're in the way when you don't forgive. So God will allow this to happen so you can get out the way. He'll bring you back in. He's scourging us. A person in this position, they're very stubborn. You know, when you have to go to the extreme to get people to change, that means that you're stubborn. And ask the Lord to get that stubbornness out you and allow God to change you. Now, here it says, notice that it is God himself who turned the unforgiven servant over to the tormentors. So this was an act of divine judgment by drawing from several biblical translations. We see the seriousness of the punishment imposed. In the NIV, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tormented. That's in the NIV. And angrily, his master handed him over to the scourger. And so angry was the master that he condemned the man to torture in the NEB Bible. Who are these jailers, scourgers, and torturers? They are demon spirits. That's all they are. That's sad. And a lot of people can be turned over to the tormentor when you don't forgive. It's very easy for me to forgive a person because I know that it would block me from being a good exorcist. I'm a demonologist, the study of deceit. I want to forgive. I want to be as close to the Lord Jesus as possible. I'm not perfect, believe me. I was talking and looking at a movie that I really enjoy, and Ed and Lorraine Warren, a paranormal, and they're a deliverance man, and Ed Warren was a demonologist. And I was watching at The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. And I was explaining to a brother in the Lord about a master satanic witch. That's the highest you can get in Satanism. They can torture themselves and take their whole body and come out, and their spirit can come follow you. And as I was talking to him about the ministry of deliverance, he was watching the exorcism, and I can see the fear coming in his eyes. And 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God does not give you a spirit of fear. And as I was explaining it to him, I felt an evil force knock my water out my hand. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of here. Now, I have to be ready to call on the name of Jesus. And I also make sure every night I go to bed, I ask the Lord Jesus to forgive me for all my sins, willfully committed, whatever. Forgive me. Because if you're in this ministry and you got unforgiveness, you will hurt yourself in an exorcism. So I forgive people. And I notice that the more quicker I forgive people, the more God gives me grace. I don't hold no grudges on nobody. I don't have bitterness or anger. I can't let that get in me. I want to live a long life. I should not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And if I open up these doors, the tormentors, that I can't afford demons to attack me in my ministry. You can't afford demons to attack you in your everyday life. Your life is a ministry. You don't have to necessarily be called on a radio station or be in a pulpit to be in the ministry. God has saints everywhere. Now, unforgiveness shuts God's ear to our prayer. We don't want that. And when you're being turned over to the tormentor, there's no way you can have a prayer being heard. Now, watch this. Who are these jailers and scorchers and tormentors? They are evil spirits, demonic spirits. The punishment imposed on the unforgiven one is the same fate that awaits the devil and his demons. You don't want the same fate. That's how God is very serious about unforgiveness. Watch this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstones, where the beasts and false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yours is not forever and ever, but it's the same way. The legions in the gathering of the demonic cried out in fear of Jesus, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Matthew 8:29. This demon understood well his ultimate destiny. The word torment occurs again in Revelation chapter 9, verse 5, in reference to locust-like demons released from the bottomless pit with the power of scorpions to inflict torment on men who have not the seal of God in their forehead. This is not a pretty picture. Don't blame God or his ministry if you cannot receive deliverance. No deliverance minister can cast demons out of anyone who has unforgiveness in his heart. Again, no deliverance minister, no demonologist can cast out any demons with anyone who have unforgiveness in their heart. If God has turned him over to the tormentor until he should pay all that was due, then the depth of forgiveness must be settled first. What is the price is imposed on an unforgiven heart when, as a result, one is turned over to tormenting demons that cannot be cast out? There are many times people have came and the Lord told me, they ain't forgiven. And they torment, help me, help me, help. You got to forgive. I'm not forgiven. And when the boy, that neck pop back and that neck go wheel back, pride hit that boy, that Leviathan pop up with that unforgiveness, pride. Pride really keeps you out of forgiving because you, hey, he did me like that. I'm such a, you ain't nothing to God. You're just a speck of dirt. We all passing through here like vapor. James 4:14. So it ain't about this or that and how high you are and what level you own. Man, this stuff is serious. Unforgiveness gives Satan an advantage on you. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sake, it is in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 and 11, there was a man in the Corinthian church who was involved in some serious sin with his father's wife. Paul had led the church to take disciplinary actions to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Later, in his second letter to Corinthians, or to Corinth, Paul was the sinful man, had repented and deserved restoration into the body. Now watch this. Later in his second letter to Corinth, Paul saw the sinful man had repented and deserved restoration into the body of Christ, lest such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, and lest though their failure to forgive, Satan should get an advantage of the church because of this. In 2 Corinthians 3:7 and 2 Corinthians 3:11, Satan will seize every opportunity. He will seize every opportunity to bring forth division, for that he can win his objectives. The church have taken a necessary action in disciplining the unrepentant sinner. And now it was time for all of us to agree upon his restoration and to forgive him. There will be no inconsistency in forgiving him. For Jesus gave instructions. If your brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him, rebuke, forgive. You don't hear nobody get rebuking people. I've rebuked a lot of people. The Lord told me to rebuke them. I rebuked them. Openly rebuke is better than love. See, the church ain't teaching the Bible. And most people don't even realize that unforgiveness can bring demons. Now watch this. Unforgiveness prevents us from partaking of God's nature. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having acquitted the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:3-4. Peter goes on to exhort us to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Love, forgetfulness in Christianity character, is the nature of God. Without the existence of these virtues, one is described blind and unable to see where he's at. He loses his spiritual perception, become barren and unfaithful, and forgets that. He was purged from his old sins in 2 Peter chapter 1:8-9 with a price to pay for unforgiveness. So the minute that you get into unforgiveness, you step out of the will of God. Now you're in the kingdom of darkness. You're hanging out there. People don't realize that. The Lord says forgive. You don't want to forgive. But yet you're going to go in the church, jump up and down, hallelujah. Oh, shit, speaking in tongues, ain't no power in it. It's just the sound. You know you can have tongues without power? A lot of people got tongues, they don't have power. You have to have the power. Well, why did they get the power? Well, they received the Holy Spirit. Something, not reading or fellowshipping or in the flesh, lost the power. Now, unforgiveness causes us to walk in darkness. He that said he is in the light and hated his brother, that's unforgiveness, is unforgiving, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So you're going to stumble when you do not forgive. It's that powerful. I met a lady, and I said this on the last time, but I always use this as an example of the encounters that I have seen in the previous years in this ministry. And I had an office when I first started off the ministry. Thank God I matured, because I was paying $900 a month. Didn't know that my internet radio bills would be $1,000 a month. But God moved me and said, move to the house. Huh? You have a back. Move this in, and here we go. And that's the money that I paid the internet radio bills, because I thank God for moving me. But when I was there, I met a lady and a man, a husband and a wife. And she was in unforgiveness. 5 years, she looked at pitiful, ankles swollen. Unforgiveness brings swollen ankles, big neck, dark eyes, gleamy eyes. There's no light in you. Demons just constantly can flow in you. Unforgiven, I ain't forgiven. All them demons gonna come in. I'm gonna give you a list of demons in him. But he that hath hated his brother, and he that hated his brother is in darkness. Those are the demons. You hate. The Bible says hate that which is evil, Psalms 97:10, not the person. And sometimes we'll get angry and sin through unforgiveness, not even know it. So, but he that hated his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eye. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. So you cannot see spiritually when you don't forgive. You can't see spiritual things. Walking in darkness is walking in steps with Satan and his kingdom. It is doing the devil's thing rather than God's thing. As Christians, we should know better. When we were born against God and delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:3. And in his kingdom, there's no darkness. So here you are, has confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and walking with the devil. That's spiritually double-minded. The light of God is spiritual armor, discernment, and protection from the wiles of the devil. In order to equip ourselves with the armor of light, we must first cast off the works of darkness, unforgiveness. That night is for spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's an armor. Let us walk not in strife, envying, and hating. Void of love and forgiveness, Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 13. Can you afford to live apart from divine guidance without protection from the devil? You can't, and a lot of Christians do it. I've seen people get mad 6-7 months. They don't even talk to the person. They go to church like ain't nothing going on. They ain't hearing God. They're just on grace. Can you afford to live apart from divine guidance without protection from the devil? What a price to pay, harboring unforgiveness. You ain't get no protection from the Lord when you get like that. Unforgiveness blinds us to the one whom we love. It blinds us. Whosoever sin and remit it, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you remit it, they are retained. So it's going to come right back at you because you don't forgive. John chapter 20, verse 23. Remit, R-E-M-I-T, means to let go, pardon, and forgive. When you forgive others' sins against you, you let it drop. Forget it and close the door. And deal with the offenses and offenders will free you. God will free you from that oppression. But you don't forgive, he can't free you. So you go back into bondage. See, unforgiveness brings you back in the bondage. And Paul says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage, back in sin. So you are back in sin before you confess Jesus. But now you're back in sin because of what? Unforgiveness. Retain, R-A-T-A-I-N, means to hold on. Thus, unforgiveness locks you into the person where you can't hold on. You crawl to, you have a soul tie with that demon. You are not free. The poison of bitterness continue to flow within you. Now you're opening up doors to demons. Now, in centuries past, the punishment for murder was to change to murder the victim's body. So what you're doing is bringing murder upon yourself. I'm going to show you something. Demons that go into you if you've been operating in unforgiveness. These are the demons that can go into you. One, bitterness, resentment, hate, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, violence, temper, retaliation, murder, and pride. Did you know that unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking about somebody you don't know anything about. Yeah, they say that pastor went over there and he did that and he did that. That's what you're doing, speaking evil. Don't speak evil of nobody. But put away from you malice, and be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Watch this. As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, 31, and 32. There are various ways of bringing sorrow to the Holy Spirit. It was assumed by Paul that the Spirit dwelled within every believer and that the experience of his fulfilledness would have an effect upon him, his speech, and toward others. Therefore, he exhorted them to put away and get rid of these things called bitterness, wrath, anger. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Did you know each time you get in anger, you get up, the Holy Spirit can't talk to you. It grieves it. He has to get back. Because you're telling the Godhead, I'm doing it my way. I'm mad. Each time you get angry, you keep telling God, I'm doing it my way. You don't know that you're doing it, but inadvertently, you're doing it. In the spirit realm, you give the devil the opportunity to attack you. It says, put off, replace with the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. You can't even get into holiness because you won't forgive. It blocks everything, and anger is the root of most people, not all. Anger can come from rejection. Anger can come from mad at God, but anger also can operate dealing with unforgiveness. I've seen these demons cross over. They heal over here and here, and they jump. And they are structured, and you operating in their lane. You have to forgive. The characteristics and benefits of true forgiveness. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but until 77 times. Now that means 7 times 70 equal 490. Does this mean that after we have forgiven someone exactly 490 times, that we can then hate him and go against him in God's approval? Of course not. Jesus is speaking of unlimited forgiveness. Sincere unforgiveness is sin that we must never cease to forgive. True forgiveness imposes no condition. True forgiveness is a birthright in grace. Grace is not founded on performances, but upon love, how God has accepted us. He has accepted us on the basis of what Christ did for us at Calvary. And you have no authority to get in the way of that. Amen. Now, what we're going to do is continue this teaching because I got a lot to cover. Amen. Unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby are ye sealed unto this day. Now, I'm going to show you 1, 2, 3, 4 demons that can open up the door when you're operating in unforgiveness. It's in Ephesians 4:31. Watch this. Let all bitterness, that's in Hebrews 12:5. Bitterness comes up and trouble us. Wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All that's an unforgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one of another. Tenderhearted. Now, you got bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. 6 demons in one act of disobedience when you don't forgive. 6 represent the worship of man and is the number of man signifying his rebellion and disobedience. It is used 273 times in the Bible, including its diverse as 6 and another 91 times in 80, and 6th man was created in the 6th day, Genesis 1:26, 1:31, and Exodus 31:15. Unforgiveness servants will operate with bitterness. You are not a servant of Christ when you do that. Now, when you don't forgive, you are having hindrance to your prayer. That's not worth it. Sin of any kind, Isaiah 59:1-2. Psalms 66:18. Isaiah 1:15. Proverbs 28:9. Sin of any kind hinders prayer. Again, Isaiah 59:1-2. Psalms 66:18. Isaiah 1:15. Proverbs 28:9. I'm going to go through it again because this is a telethon, and the Holy Spirit just tapped on me and say, slow it down. And I just heard the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go back over this again until the Lord tells me something else. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say it, but the Holy Spirit will teach me at that hour what I need to say, Luke 12:11. I don't need my mind, Mark 13:11. Do not premeditate. I don't premeditate, think, eyeball, analyze, comeback words. I don't need none of that. Holy Ghost will teach you. Idols in the heart can block your prayer, idling something so much that you won't forgive. Ezekiel 14:1-3. I want you to go home tonight or this evening, wherever you're at, and study the unforgiven spirit. This is a spirit. It's in Mark 11:25. It's in Matthew 5:23. It's a spirit. Let's go to Mark 11:25. Mark is I love the book of Jude is my favorite text in the New Testament, and then the book of Mark. Jude have a lot of powerful things in demonology. So let's go to Mark 11:25. Mark 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. So don't pray and not forgive. Some of you pray and don't even forgive. And you want to create it your own way. You want to do it your way. I ain't forgiving. I'm going to go praise the Lord. Lord, God ain't hearing nothing you say. You ain't forgave. And when he stand praying, forgive. So you can't even pray. You have to forgive. If you have an ought against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you of your trespassing. But if you do not forgive, watch this now, but if you do not forgive, a lot of people don't want to hear this, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So all the sin you're doing by not forgiving, adding on you. And if you die in that, you'll go straight to hell. That's a one-way ticket to hell. Do you want a one-way ticket to hell? Keep not forgiving people, because you will go straight to hell. When you don't forgive a person, you will go straight to hell. Let me read it again. These are words that Jesus said, and I'm not sugarcoating it, because we need to really see how serious this sin is. In Mark 11:25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. So you can't pray without forgiving. If ye have an ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now watch this. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So God ain't going to forgive you. And a lot of Christians running around thinking God with them, and God is nowhere around. Selfishness, wrong motives with prayer through unforgiveness ain't going to work, because the motives are wrong. You haven't forgive, and now you expect God to do a work in you. Let's go to Proverbs 21:13. Proverbs 21:13. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The poor in spirit, someone is coming to you for forgiveness. They're humble and poor in spirit. That means not poverty, but poor means humble. The Holy Spirit said, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit to tell you the word. So now the person in a humble position, and you ain't going to do nothing about it, you won't release them. Man, you're crazy. This is why a lot of people are not blessed. And they worried and they're tired. They still ain't blessed. They're angry. They snap at people. That's a lot of unforgiveness in them. Jesus says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That person coming, they got the kingdom of heaven because they in a right heart toward God and say, please forgive me, I offend you. And you got the nerves to yuck your neck back and say, to hell with you. You're going straight to hell if you keep that up all day, not forgiving. That's not worth it. Wrong treatment of marriage. You mad at your partner. And you men, your prayers will be hindered if you don't forgive. You, the head of the house. Let's look at that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Watch this now. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, as bringing heirs together, that the grace of life, hairs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Unforgiveness. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Not worth it. Psalms chapter 32, verse 1 through 2. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whom spirit is not deceit. Psalms 103, 1 through 3. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So if you don't forgive, you can't get no benefits from God. You're out of benefits. Imagine you going to a job. They said, we don't have no benefits for you, but you can go to work. You're still working there now. You're in the kingdom, but you ain't got no benefits. You're still saved because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You just have a hindrance of not understanding forgiveness. So now that those who have heard me, the blood is on you. It's not on me. So you lose benefits and also health, and also diseases will come upon you. What's the opposite of a disease? Non-disease is a disease. Health. What's the opposite of health? Sickness. Again, Psalms 103, 1 through 3. Psalms 103, verse 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, B-E-N-E-F-I-T-S, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. He's forgiven your iniquities. Who healeth all thy disease. So if he doesn't forgive your iniquities, you can't get healing. And there's a lot of sick people that are sick today because of unforgiveness. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1. Luke 15:1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 and in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laying on it his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be given in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which have no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That's partying. And when he had spent all that arose about him, mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his field to feed swines. And he would faint, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he come to him, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am not more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, father, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called my son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the beast's robes and put it on him, and put his ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither his fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and alive again he was, lost and is found. And they begin to be happy. That's what God wants to be with you. But if you block his law of forgiving, if you block it through unforgiveness and choose to open up a door to demonic spirits in your life, it's not worthy. It's not worth it. Do you know that you will sow what you reap? Most people with unforgiveness don't realize the serious consequences of that sin, man. I really believe unforgiveness is the most horrific sin of all sins because it blocks benefits, as we said in Psalms 103:11-5. It blocks healing. It opens up the door to demons. It's not worth it. Please turn to Galatians 6:9, please. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, the word says, and let us be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall weep if we faint. Now watch this. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he weep. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. So you are constantly weeping destruction, unforgiveness, unforgiveness, unforgiveness. You keep weeping destruction. You keep weeping destruction. It's not worth it. Scriptures for you to study on forgiveness is as follows. 1. 1 John 3:8. 2. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. 3. Psalms 85, 2. 4. Psalms 86, verse 5. 5. Psalms 103, verse 3 and 12. 6. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. 7. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. 10. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 through 20, through 26. 12. Leviticus chapter 17, 3 through 4. 13, Ephesians 4:32. 14, Colossians 2:3. 15, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. 16, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. 17, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Unforgiveness will block your prayer, Isaiah 66:18, Proverbs 28, verse 9, Psalms chapter 80, verse 40, study 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 6, study Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, study Psalms chapter 80, verse 18 and 19. We must forgive others. I pray that this has been a blessing to the hearer. We are celebrating 15 years being on air. I study under Dr. Derek Prince. I'm a Derek Prince disciple. I am a disciple of Christ, but taught under Derek Prince Ministries. I believe in all the teachings of Derek Prince. I go against any of his doctrine at all. I thank the Lord for introducing me to Derek Prince. And I pray that you will commit yourself to study the Bible. I'm noticing that people have problems even being disciplined to study. And if you don't study your Bible and you don't have nothing in your spirit, how are you going to fight the devil? Jesus didn't have no food. He was about hunger. The man was very hungry. He was in the flesh, tired from being tempted of the devil. But what did Jesus do? He quoted the word to Satan in Matthew chapter 4. I pray that you have learned something. And if you want to repent of your sin of unforgiveness, door is wide open. If those who are listening to me wish to repent from anger, malice, wrath, hate, bitterness, release it. The Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I ask that you forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. I have sinned against you, Lord, and you only have I sinned. I ask that you come into my life and be the Son of God and teach me your word. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The word says we confess with our mouth, Romans 10:9, and believe in our heart that thou shalt be saved. I ask that you deliver me in the name of Jesus of Nazareth from unforgiveness. Now, if those who have unforgiveness and you have been harboring it for 6 to 7 months, we will now command the demonic spirits to come out since you have accepted the Lord. You ask the Lord to forgive you. Just blow. Spirit means breath. So when you blow, you may hear some bumps. If you get nauseated, if you get yawning, if there's crying, burping, screaming, there's many forms of manifestations when a person are getting delivered from evil spirits. Get them out of you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, spirits of anger, spirits of unforgiveness, I command that you come out. Come on out of them. Come on out, unforgiveness. Come out. Come out, unforgiveness. Come on out, bitterness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come on out, bitterness. Come out. Come out of them right now. Bitterness, come out. Come out, bitterness. Bitterness, come out. By the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, unforgiveness, come out. Come on out of them. Come out in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Come out. Come on out. Leave. Leave now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All forms of unforgiveness, leave. Come on out. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on out. Unforgiveness, come on out. Come out. Come on out. Let's go. Get out. Get out of them. Get out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of unforgiveness, come out. Come on out. Come on out. Anger, come on out. Spirits of anger, come out. Come on out, anger. Unforgiveness, come on out. Come on out, unforgiveness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out. Come out of them. Loose them. In the name of Jesus, come out. Spirits of unforgiveness, spirits of bitterness, malice, wrath, seditions, harbor bitterness in the heart. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out of them. Thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. This is our telethon. We're going to be coming back with biblical spirits in the Bible. And I tell you, you need to get to livedeliverance.com because we got a powerful program that's coming up right now. As soon as I get off air, Live Deliverance Internet Radio will be teaching a presentation of a man who went to hell. I'm going to be teaching on where are demons. We got a teaching on Jehovah Witnesses, witchcraft. We got a teaching on Seventh Day Adventists. We have a teaching on Azusa Street, the encounters of what happened when the Spirit of God moved this brother in Los Angeles. So go to livedeliverance.com as soon as I get off air. We got a teaching of Kenneth Hagin, the new birth. And Kenneth Hagin's going to be teaching on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have a sister out of California, Mother Brown, will be bringing the word on deliverance. So I want you to please commit to www.livedeliveranceinternetradio. That's where I want everybody to come to. I am not dependent on social platforms. I started off with livedeliverance.com, and I'm going to leave like this. I do not want any worldly system to represent my ministry, because that way I would have to heed to theirs, and they won't want me to say something. I'm going to say it. And I have that freedom to do it at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. So please tell someone, we need more listening audience. Can you tell somebody about www.livedeliverance.com? Tell someone again, www.livedeliverance.com. Tell someone about it. Sow a seed to keep us on air. God bless you. Go to www.livedeliverance.com. Go to a secure PayPal site on the lower left-hand corner. Keep us on air. We are raising money for our anniversary. I want to thank the Lord. Brother Paul, thank you for the computer. The Lord has blessed us with a brand new computer. I'm about to set it up and put it back here. I very much need it because we run these radio stations. This brother has blessed us with so many computers and kept us on air. We love you, Brother Paul. God bless you. I thank every last one of you who has given, and I thank those who was unable to give. But if you can give, let the Lord lead you to move us. And someone sowed a wonderful seed that really paid a lot of legal fees that we are dealing with YouTube. I am so elated to be here in these United States of America to speak the ministry of deliverance to you. I am a demonologist and a curseologist. The study of curses, I graduated from the University of the Holy Ghost. That's the best university. I ask that you really commit yourself to the Lord's reading of his word. If you can do that, and God can open up that word to you and show you a reflection of who you are, you'll be a better person. God bless you. Shalom. And have a good evening. Stand by. All right, those who are in livedeliverance.com who's listening to us, we want to thank every last one of you. We're about to put the teaching on now of the Jehovah Witness. Thank you. And thank you for coming in the room. All right, now I got to get Chaplain John Durden for comments before we leave. Chaplain John Durden, you have the mic.
Yes, thank you. This was a mighty teaching session this afternoon. I enjoyed it, especially me in my new beginnings at this age, trying to learn deliverance ministry and everything like that. And this message really punched me in my heart because God is willing to forgive us. And here we are. We harbor bitterness and resentment and all these other kinds and revenge and think that we can get away with it and then we can go right around the corner and go to bitterness. Lord bless me for this and Lord bless me for that. And the bottom line is that what you've been teaching tonight teaches that the forgiveness of God, though freely given to us as repentant sinners, well, nevertheless, God, these conditions will remain on us according to our willing to forgive others who offended us. And this is how our Heavenly Father will treat each of us unless we give our brothers and sisters forgiveness from our heart. So in other words, if we want the Lord to forgive us of our sins, all the things we have done that dispute the Bible, it's still hanging on us because we got to forgive others if we want God to forgive us. Ain't nowhere in the world, I don't care what they call it, especially when you're a beginner like myself trying and we get 3, 4, 20 calls a day almost and tell me, hey, boy, doesn't it? And boy, and then that harbor, that bitterness jump up at me and everything else. And I go, oh, my God, I just blew it. Then I ask the Lord to forgive me because that's the purpose of demons, to get us into bitterness where our prayers can't be answered or anything. Because you gave, I mean, I don't know, 15, 20 scriptures all saying the same thing about, hey, if you want to be forgiven and be blessed by God, then you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to forgive those who offend you, whatever you did. There's no condition or anything. You must forgive if you want the Lord to forgive you of all your sins and attributes. God bless you. Enjoy that.
All right. God bless everybody. Shalom. We're going to come back later on this evening for biblical spirits in the Bible. God bless.
Amen.
Come to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding